WZPI
CBS
Greenfield.
News Brief. Sean Combs faces 11 years in prison when he's sentenced on prostitution conviction today. CBS New York's Ali Bauman.
Combs' former stylist testified against him, spoke with CBS Mornings.
I hope that the sentence is enough for the victims to get some peace.
The rap mogul submitted a last-minute letter to the judge pleading for mercy and vowing never to commit a crime again. Day three of the government shutdown and no sign of compromise. Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
We're asking Democrats to do nothing more than pass a clean, nonpartisan bill to fund the government for a few more weeks.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
After the White House meeting on Monday, we've seen behavior by the president that is unserious and unhinged.
Firefighters outside L.A. are battling the massive flames of a fire at a Chevron oil refinery. Austin Ma is in El Segundo.
It just started getting really hard to breathe all of a sudden.
So far, no injuries reported and no word on the cause. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. The great part is you just won $1 million on Wheel of Fortune, making yourself the biggest winner ever. The tough part? You filmed the episode in May and had to keep it a secret from your boyfriend and family for 4 months. 34-year-old Christina Deravianic of Connecticut had just started dating the boyfriend and managed to keep everything on the QT. She held a watch party in Stamford, and her boyfriend found out while watching in Boston. Deravianic also says, like most people who win a lot of money, she is not quitting her job, at least not until the boss refuses her raise. If you're looking for a film to watch at home this weekend, check out Caught Stealing. The Darren Aronofsky-directed film is a good caper about an ex-baseball player who gets mixed up with gangsters thanks to his goofy neighbor. The film stars Zoe Kravitz and Austin Butler, and it's definitely worth a look. Caught Stealing is now available to stream at home on video on demand. Check it out. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
On the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs tomorrow, just after 1 p.m. in Game 1 of the Best of 5 Divisional Series in Milwaukee. After being swept by the Yankees in New York at the start of the season, who would have thought the Brewers would set a franchise record of 97 wins on the way to winning their division? Pat Murphy.
No one expected this. To break the franchise record for wins, would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room.
The Brewers have had the past week off. Another workout session at the ballpark today. Are they ready now for the playoffs? Freddy Peralta will start for Milwaukee.
We just have to stay focused and keep doing what we've been doing, trusting in each other, just to remind us also that we never have to give up and keep going.
College football, the Badgers take on number 20th ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Today's big deal of the day. Don't let the cold slow you down. Keep moving at Studio OXO, Racine's premier dance studio for adults and teens. Studio OXO offers a fun, welcoming space to stay active, energized, and confident all year long. Go to WRJN.com right now. Click the big deals banner and purchase $75 gift certificates for just $30. Today only at WRJN Big Deals.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
It is going to be another warm one today. Fall temperatures will return eventually. I think next week we will be quite a bit cooler. But today, mostly sunny, 85 this afternoon, 65 tonight, sunshine, 83 tomorrow. We'll get to 81 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp, 62.
Are you ready to enjoy retirement? How would you like to live in a place dedicated to your comfort while allowing you the freedom to live an active and worry-free lifestyle? Fountain Hills offers condo-style apartments, and their residents enjoy going out for lunches and dinners, grocery shopping, playing cards and bingo with other residents, all while using extra precautions to keep their senior residents safe. To explore becoming a Fountain Hills resident, see FountainHillsApartments.com or call 262-886-9200.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals. So I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Day of World Dairy Expo is upon us with the supreme champion to be named starting at 4 p.m. I'm Stephanie Hoff along with you. Happy Friday here on the Midwest Farm Report. I admit it is bittersweet that this busy week is coming to a close, but it truly has been a pleasure sharing stories of Expo with you here on the early show and showcasing how Wisconsin is highlighted during this international event. We've got more Expo updates on the way today. And in other news, farms are already starting to watch yield monitors for 2025, thinking about 2026. We'll catch up with Helena Agri about what you should know. We're also introducing you to a Wisconsin farm that got started the same time as the women's suffrage movement and the start of Prohibition. The year was 1919. But first, our own Kylie Allen has an important update on how to get the most out of your pasture in the late season. Stick around.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
Protecting the families and children in our farming communities. Kids love to be included in the daily farm activities, but accidents can happen quickly. Reduce the chance of injury by making sure your farm is a safe environment for adults and kids. Learn more at ruralmutual.com.
Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Hey, everybody, calm down. It's okay.
Oh, it's coming. The farm animals can always feel it.
Is that an earthquake? I didn't think those happened in the heartland. Aren't we harvesting Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans today?
It's not an earthquake. It's the aftershock of unleashing Z-Series soybeans.
You did mention a yield advantage of nearly 4 bushels an acre.
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
September and October are what Jason Cavadini, the Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist, considers to be optimal months for grazing. And he says this year is no different. Jason tells us why we're seeing some of the best forage growth that he's seen in the last 10 years.
It's just been an exceptional year for cool season perennial grasses. There's multiple reasons for that. We've had plenty of rainfall, and it's kind of been timed. So, like, typically we think of cool season grasses, especially as we hear this term summer slump. That's because if you look at the normal growth curve of a grass, it'll slump for a while, kind of in the dog days of summer, I guess. But this year that was timed up with plenty of rainfall. And so the summer slump was pretty minor, if at all. And so, and now we're kind of coming into, I call September and October the best part of the grazing season. And so we're coming into that now. And so we're kind of seeing a year where growth has been abundant from start to finish, even though we're not to the finish line yet.
And while we're in this best part of the growing season, is there any care that we need to do to make sure that we're maximizing the potential of that grass?
Yeah, so, I mean, we talk a lot about trying to, having one of our priorities, keeping the grass and legumes vegetative. So basically what that means is if you're familiar at all with the growth stage, which a lot of us have even a minimal understanding. So like in the spring, grasses just take off growing. And then eventually we start to see seed heads. That means they've reached maturity. And then every day beyond that, forage quality goes down. If we've done anything to manage that mature material to remove it, whether it's from grazing, harvesting, or clipping off seed heads, essentially what we're doing is setting that grass back to the vegetative stage. And grasses, most of them, only reach maturity once in a growing season. And so now we're not fighting against that anymore for the rest of the season. And so I would say that it should be the number one objective of anyone with animals on pasture is to get the most. We use the term utilization, which means to use as much of that material as possible. We want to keep it vegetative because we'll get less refusal from animals and actually the most gain because it's high in nutrients.
Now tell me, if I'm out looking at my pasture and I'm thinking maybe it doesn't look like you're describing as maybe yep. full and flush as it could, why would you suspect that would be? What are some things I can do about it?
Well, it all starts with management. So we talk a lot about management in our grazing programming, and it's there's a lot of things that go into management. It all starts with understanding how many animals our land can hold. And that starts with setting our goals. So if our goal is to graze through September and October, we need to account for that at the very beginning of the grazing season and understand how many animals we can have on that pasture. It will almost always seem like it's fewer than what you thought you could have, but it's because we're accounting for that summer slump. We're accounting for several grazings of each piece of pasture through the season. And ultimately, we want to have enough left when we get into September and October that we can continue grazing for those 2 months. So it starts with what we call the carrying capacity. But yeah, it starts out with understanding what the carrying capacity of our land is so we're able to meet those goals. And then just managing through the season to keep that forage value in a place where we're benefiting from it. So
you mentioned that now is the time of year where we kind of assess our pasture and determine maybe a plan going forward if we need to improve anything or keep on the path we're on. Shooting down later into the fall now, end of fall, early winter, are there any parts of those plans that maybe need to be implemented then?
Yeah, so fall is when we want to just kind of stop for a minute and think about the entire grazing season up to this point. Like, how has it gone? What things have we seen? We just want to assess our pastures. Do we like what we have growing in our pastures? And as I mentioned earlier, this is the composition of a pasture is always kind of evolving for multiple reasons. It's a product of how we manage, but it also is a product of the growing conditions. So if we've got a pasture that has a diversity of species of grasses in it, we'll see one thrive 1 year and another thrive the next year based on the conditions. But overall, what we want to do is just look at it and say, are we happy with this? Or do we feel like we need to do some things to maintain production long-term? Do we need to introduce some other species? Do we need to fill it in because there's some open ground to get more growth? Do we feel like we're maybe not getting as much yield as we should be? And then from there, we can start to identify solutions. And again, we always go to management. How can our management fix whatever issue we're seeing? Maybe rotating a little more could be the solution. And then what in addition to management? Are we short on any nutrients? The one that we always tell people to take a look at is potassium. In a typical grazing season, we're maybe removing around 30 pounds of potassium. If you make hay on those acres, then you're removing even more. 3 ton per acre hay harvest, which would be a couple harvests in a season, that's a fairly modest yield, that's going to remove about 150 pounds per acre of potassium. So there is a chance that at some point you need to supplement some potassium. So we tell people just take a soil sample, see what that tells you. If you do need to supplement some potassium, you can do it through manure or you can do it through fertilizer. But it's always a good idea to do it in the fall because you're setting yourself up for the next growing season. And the potassium also plays a really important role in your legumes, such as red clover, which is prevalent in a lot of pastures. Helps them to be stronger to make it through the winter. So are you happy with what's growing? Do you need some nutrient additions? If you do decide that you do need to do some renovation, I want to fill in some open spots. Well, then you can think about what equipment do I have access to? How do I plan on doing this? Do I want to do it in the fall or in the spring?
Jason Cavadini, the Extension Grazing Outreach Specialist. From the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison, I'm Kylie Allen.
What weather is in store for the Midwest today? Stay tuned as Ag Meteorologist Stu Muck gives you the latest forecast in just moments, right here on the Midwest Farm Report.
Keep your swing sharp all year at X Golf Kenosha. Thursday, October 9th kicks off a 10-day fundraiser for the Kenosha Police Department with a special tournament. It's the KPD versus the public in a fun scramble format, all for a great cause. Enjoy giveaways like free golf rounds, KPD and X Golf gear, and gift cards. And make sure you follow along on social media for all the action throughout the day. October 9th, X Golf Kenosha, just off Highway 50 west of Green Bay Road. It's more than golf, it's about the community.
It's the Eco Minute, powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
National Park Foundation, and together with you, we're creating a future where every person, every generation, gets their chance at an unforgettable moment. Learn more at nationalparks.org/foundation.
That number is 877-301-FARM or 877-301-3276. Rocky from Taycheetah does a good job keeping us updated. He even sent in some pictures of last night's sunset. We welcome those as well. Always puts a smile on my face in the morning. So thank you, Rocky, for that. I got another note, and Stu, this one you will enjoy. A note that says, it's hard to believe World Dairy Expo wraps up tomorrow and it's only going to be 90 degrees. Is that the case?
Well, I'd say 88 degrees in Madison, but I guess that's close to 90.
Close to 90.
It works, doesn't it? I mean, we're looking for the warmth, and it absolutely has settled in and has been sticking around all week. Today, probably the warmest, really close tomorrow as well. Temps for a lot of folks in southern Wisconsin in the upper 80s. Just a really incredible pattern. The upper level high way out over the New England states, but still very strong, still blocking activity for moving into our part of the Midwest. Take, for instance, the cool front that's just off the northwest corner of Minnesota and back to southwest North Dakota. It was about there yesterday, and there is rain north of that boundary. There's a little activity up on the northern edge of the UP and up into southern Canada. More of that activity back around Winnipeg and just up into northern Canada, north of Minnesota, and far northwest North Dakota, northern Montana. That's where it is. It's not going to get here in a hurry. That cool front will try and approach this weekend. Out ahead of it, the southerly winds, mostly south and southwest, will get a bit stronger for tomorrow and on into the day Sunday, and will really bring in a lot of mild air from the south. That helps push those temperatures up today, tomorrow, and even Sunday for that matter. But that front does begin to edge in, and some small rain chances start to pop up. Oh, like there could even be a very isolated sprinkle around Eau Claire yet late today. Don't count on it. Just a really slight chance. I think as we start wrapping up the weekend late Sunday into Sunday night, western and far northwestern Wisconsin could start to see that small chance for a little rain, hit or miss showers. I think that chance then starts to show up Sunday night into Monday almost statewide. I don't expect it to amount to a great deal, not big amounts of rain, but a little rainfall could be seen. That may slow down some of the fieldwork progress. I saw a whole lot of combines in the soybeans yesterday everywhere I went. I guess it's that time. Things have been drying down, and the work is coming at us in a big way. And if you can take advantage of another beautiful day today and then Saturday and Sunday and really make some fieldwork progress, you're going to be just that much ahead. I'll have forecast details right after this.
Oh, yeah. Here we go.
Did you just plant Pioneer Brand Z-Series soybeans again?
You bet your next level genetics I did. After last year's huge yields, why wouldn't I want to maximize that Z-Series momentum?
Right. How could I forget about that performance? It totally beat our expectations. Let's unleash some Z-Series on those acres. Come on.
Now you're talking. With that kind of ROI, why would we plant anything else?
Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
At Rural Mutual Insurance, we understand harvest season can bring long hours, tough decisions, and added stress. That's why this week on the Midwest Farm Report, we're shining a light on mental health in agriculture. Tune in each day or catch the Midwest Farm Report podcast to hear real stories from Wisconsin farmers and experts. And visit ruralmutual.com/farmsafety for resources to help you and your family stay safe and healthy this harvest season. Rural Mutual Insurance, keeping Wisconsin strong.
Yeah, speaking of that Rural Mental Health Week coming up, we do have some really moving stories lined up for next week. Some good reminders of how the agriculture community can help each other out. That starts again on Monday. And speaking of looking ahead, Stu, how are we going to round out World Dairy Expo and lead into the weekend? What do you got for our Compeer forecast?
Well, it's going to be on a very warm note, Stephanie. Sunshine and very warm. We could be in the mid-80s in the north, upper 80s in the south today. The southwest winds around 5 to 10. We'll stay clear overnight, not cooling that much. Very upper 50s and low 60s with the south breeze. Another sunny day, warm Saturday. Again, in the mid or upper 80s, the warmest in the state, probably 87 or so. South winds 5 to 15. Those winds do pick up a bit. And by Sunday with sunshine, low to mid 80s, south winds almost 10 to 20, could be gusting near 25 miles per hour, maybe 30 in the southeast. And then that chance of rain late Sunday night into Monday. By Monday morning, hopefully, Stephanie, we can say there's some kind of measurable rain around, but at least some raindrops ought to be seen.
Oh, and we're going to be curious about that. Thank you so much, Stu. That's our Compeer Financial Ag Weather Update. Please let us know what you see in your rain gauge. Again, 877-301-FARM. That's 877-301-3276 as those rain chances creep in on Sunday night. And again, enjoy the summery temps while they're around. Upper 80s for World Dairy Expo. Compeer Financial is your financial partner committed to agriculture and rural America. Visit them at compeer.com. Pam Yonke will also be broadcasting with Compeer today, so follow along with us at Midwest Farm Report on Facebook to see that. Up next, we're visiting a Brown County farm that's been in the same family for more than 100 years. You're not going to want to miss that.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Youngke.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent interview on John and Gordy in the Morning when they're joined by the fabulous farm babe, Pam Youngke.
The Department of Ag has a problem with Wisconsin stockyards, livestock yards.
This is something that's going to impact potentially farmers no matter what they market. So what the Wisconsin Department of Ag, Trade, and Consumer Protection is proposing are really, really escalated fees for the license that they give to the markets that sell cattle, the people that truck the cattle from the farm to the market. I'm not kidding you. I'll just ask you guys this. If you got a bill in your house that went up 1,666%.
Wow.
I think that, well, first of all, I think you might require medical attention.
Right.
But, you know, the catch with this one is farmers don't have a choice. If the department decides they're going to charge these fees for their services, it really is like a fine. I talked to Kurt Larson, who is the president and CEO of the Equity Livestock Sales Cooperative. They must have, I want to say, about 11 livestock yards where cattle are brought to a central location. Buyers come to that location, and that's where the business is transacted. Well, if this fee goes into place, it goes from $400 a year per location to more than $7,000 per year for that same location. Now, to you and I, that seems just absolutely ludicrous.
It is.
But they say that these rules have not been changed since 2009, and it's necessary to finance the program. Now, Kurt Larson has done a lot of work on the numbers. He said that there is no justification in the hours that the Department of Ag staff is spending giving these licenses to justify that. The other thing he said is a lot of this is about traceability. You know how consumers want to know where an animal came from, what farm, and all that. And he said that's really a food safety issue that farmers are already dealing with by putting ear tags in their animals so they know where it's coming from, by keeping really good records, especially in Wisconsin with all our dairy cows. And he said in other states where this has become an issue, there are shared parties that split divvy these license fees. So this is I'm telling you, this is a dust up in a big way. The fees are going to get passed on to the farmer. And they're saying, hey, wait a minute, we already are doing our part.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
CBS News Brief. Sean Combs faces 11 years in prison when he's sentenced on prostitution conviction today. CBS New York's Ali Bauman.
Combs' former stylist testified against him, spoke with CBS Mornings.
I hope that the sentence is enough for the victims to get some peace.
The rap mogul submitted a last-minute letter to the judge pleading for mercy and vowing never to commit a crime again. Day three of the government shutdown and no sign of compromise. Senate Majority Leader John Thune.
We're asking Democrats to do nothing more than pass a clean, nonpartisan bill to fund the government for a few more weeks.
House Minority Leader Hakeem Jeffries.
After the White House meeting on Monday, we've seen behavior by the president that is unserious and unhinged.
Firefighters outside L.A. are battling the massive flames of a fire at a Chevron oil refinery. Austin Ma is in El Segundo.
It just started getting really hard to breathe all of a sudden.
So far, no injuries reported and no word on the cause. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Bring on the Cubs. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with Sports Baseball. It's the Brewers and the Cubs tomorrow, just after 1 p.m. in Game 1 of the Best of 5 Divisional Series in Milwaukee. After being swept by the Yankees in New York at the start of the season, who would have thought the Brewers would set a franchise record of 97 wins on the way to winning their division? Pat Murphy.
No one expected this, to break the franchise record for wins. Would you have said that coming out of New York or after opening day here? It just shows you who's in the room.
The Brewers have had the past week off. Another workout session at the ballpark today. Are they ready now for the playoffs? Freddy Peralta will start for Milwaukee.
We just have to stay focused and keep doing what we've been doing, trusting in each other, just to remind us ourselves that we never have to give up and keep going.
College football, the Badgers take on number 20th-ranked Michigan in Ann Arbor. Kickoff tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. with Sports on Mike Clemens.
Small businesses are the heart of America. As the nation's largest nonprofit resource of expert business mentoring, SCORE has helped millions of entrepreneurs build their businesses. For free, find a mentor today at score.org.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN.
It is going to be another warm one today. Fall temperatures will return eventually. I think next week we will be quite a bit cooler, but today mostly sunny, 85 this afternoon, 65 tonight, sunshine, 83 tomorrow. We'll get to 81 on Sunday. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temp 62.
Every day is a great day to visit O&H Danish Bakery. And all this week, O&H is featuring the return of Pumpkin Caramel Kringle. O&H's special blend of pumpkin, spices, and smooth caramel have made it an annual family favorite. It's a sure sign that fall has arrived, so be sure to pick up one this week. While at O&H, grab several pumpkin donuts, rolled in cinnamon sugar or with cream cheese icing. Enjoy oven-fresh, scratch-made Danish delights from O&H Danish Bakery in Racine, Sturtevant, and Oak Creek.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
You're listening to the Midwest Farm Report on the Civic Media Radio Network. We now take you to a recent Maggie Dawn Show interview with 32nd State Senate District Senator Brad Pfaff.
I wanted to talk to you about consolidation across basically every subsector of the agricultural industry. This is the phenomena of, hey, do you miss your local hardware store on Main Street? Well, that's because Walmart moved in. It means that they can, without even getting in a room and agreeing about it, effectively push prices up, especially when measured against inflation. In other words, there's price gouging going on because of consolidation. You care about this deeply. You've been following this deeply, and it is just getting worse, is it not?
It surely is getting worse, and then quite frankly, it's wrong. So if you are going to grill a hamburger tonight or grill a steak, I want to let you know that while that beef may have come from the countryside all over this nation, the thing is there are four meat packers in this country that dominate 80% of the marketplace. And I also ask you to envision an hourglass in which you have hundreds of thousands of independent family farmers, and then envision the bottom of that hourglass in which you have millions of consumers, and then you have four meat packers at the dead center of that hourglass. So everything gets run through there. I believe that there needs to be a real thorough evaluation of what's happening. But again, this is a domestic marketplace and even an international marketplace, and it really is putting a squeeze on our family farmers, but also I would say on our consumers as well, because I think it restricts our choice. And that is why I pushed legislation, Maggie, in order to try and broaden this supply chain. Make sure that we have more small town meat packing facilities. We call them locker plants out here in the countryside, where you can pull into a local meat packing place and buy your summer sausage or buy your pork chops, and it's all local. And so I'm very proud within the Evers administration, there has been more money that's gone to local meat processing. These are family-owned operations. They're on Main Street. And it's a win-win for our consumers as well, because we get greater choice and greater variety when it comes to the food products that we can purchase and eat and enjoy. But yes, the consolidation that's taking place in agriculture, again, it just leads to a ripple effect. And so what happens is that the larger these meat packers get, or the larger, the more difficult it gets to be able to sell your product, your animal or your wheat or your grain, what happens is you yourself as a farmer need to get larger. Yeah. As far as purchase more land, and you consolidate. And again, that just leads to fewer and fewer independent entrepreneurs, family farmers on the countryside.
To subscribe and find all of Civic Media's podcast library, head over to civicmedia.us/shows.
Morning and welcome back to the Midwest Farm Report. I'm Stephanie Hoff, happy to be along with you on a Friday. I said earlier, it is a bittersweet end to the week as we wrap up World Dairy Expo. If you're headed out there today, the Parade of Champions and selection of the Supreme Champions will start at 4 o'clock this afternoon. Kylie Allen will bring us another story from World Dairy Expo later in the hour. First, have you got your gardening gloves ready? According to the Old Farmer's Almanac, today, October 3rd, is a prime day to plant evergreens and lilacs. The book also reminds us that green plants are not just pretty, they are nature's original air fresheners, so bring some inside. And speaking of nature, keep your eyes on the sky. After the weekend, we'll be treated to the first supermoon of 2025. It's also the first harvest moon. It'll peak Monday, October 6th, and it's going to be the biggest and brightest full moon of the year, casting a golden glow that I'm sure we're not going to want to miss. That's what's happening in the Old Farmer's Almanac. For some farms, that same moon has passed over the same family for more than 100 years. Ben Jarbo takes us to Brown County this morning to introduce us to one of those centennial farms.
The women's suffrage movement, the Treaty of Versailles, and the beginning of the Prohibition. These are all things that were taking place when the Larscheid family farm was getting started in 1919. I'm Ben Jarbo with the Midwest Farm Report. And as part of our Century Farm celebration, Bill Larscheid joins me with his wife Debbie and mom Judy to share the history of their Brown County farm that has created many great memories.
My great-grandfather, Henry Sr., purchased the current 80 acres we're on in 1919 and sold it to my grandpa in 2023. My grandfather milked Holsteins and showed Belgian draft horses at the local Brown County Fair. I guess he was pretty popular in that day. Later on, my mother and father bought the property in 1964, and they did most of the Holstein milking. Started out with a small herd of milk cows that me and my brothers and my sisters would milk before school and after school, do the chores, do all the summer stuff. And then my wife and I finally purchased the land and the property in 1996. We bought 20 of the acres. And then in 2005, we purchased it and we ran Black Angus beef on the farm until 2014. So we got rid of the beef in 14, and now we rent the land to a local farmer, and he farms it and pays me the rent money.
When we look at the history, 100 years, that's a long time. Farm has gone through a lot of interesting times throughout history here. What are some of those key things that are stories that you know of through those times of how the farm was able to get through them?
Well, I remember back in the 1970s when we had the drought conditions, our crops weren't doing well. And the local church out in Pulaski asked farmers who had more to pile it on a wagon, and farmers that needed it come and take it and bring the wagon back. And that's basically how our farm in the 70s made it through some of those drought years. Very thankful for my dad was working out at the time, that they could afford to keep the family farm running with whatever prices he was getting at the time. Through our years when we were younger, we did raise hogs when we got, my brothers and I were in high school for FFA projects and club projects to show at the fair. One of the stories we had was we lost a sow pig, and she had eight little ones. And my brothers and I decided to bottle feed them. And those pigs, until they were 40 pounders, would follow us all around the yard. And it was just hilarious. People would come here and watch the Larshide boys and the pigs walking around the yard. And it was sort of comical at the time.
The pigs were kind of like dogs, like your pets there.
They were. They would come when we called them. Oh, would they run to us? My mom would mix up a big batch of milk replacer, and we'd walk outside with the bucket. And before we could get the bucket on the ground, those pigs were right in the bucket drinking. It was fun raising those pigs.
When you think about how the farm has lasted through these 100 years, what do you think your ancestors, your grandparents, and your mom, what would you say, what do they think about how the farm is doing now?
It's different. I wasn't the farm girl when I got married. I was the cheesemaker's daughter. And I knew about farms, but I learned very quickly. I was pretty good at milking and carrying pails of milk, because in the beginning we carried them from the cow into the milk house and dumped it in, and I was right with them. One other note, though, my husband's sister will be 100 years old in January, so she was here from the start.
From just learning to farm to the fairgrounds to now the fifth generation, the Larshide family has worked hard to keep their farm going over the last 100 years. The Century Farm interview is brought to you by Compeer Financial. If you like this story and want to hear more like it, visit our website at MidwestFarmReport.com. I'm Ben Jarbo.
Thank you, Ben. Advice for the 2026 growing season and an expo update are on the way.
At Channel, we always show up for our farmers.
Is that tar spot or rust?
Incoming!
Definitely rust.
Rick, how did you...
Dropping in to check on your crop, Bill. Let's call your agronomist before that rust can hurt your yield.
That sounds great, but when did you learn to skydive?
Self-taught, Bill. Kind of a prodigy.
From personalized insights to year-round support, Channel Seed Pros always show up. Visit channel.com to learn more. Channel, all in, all season. Read and follow pesticide label directions, grain marketing, and other stewardship practices.
At CHS, we know what it takes to feed and fuel the world, to integrate a global ag and energy supply chain, to advocate for farmers in their fields and around the world, to build communities, invest in rural America, and empower rural economies. It takes courage, conviction, commitment. It takes the nation's leading farmer-owned cooperative. It takes a co-op. It takes CHS.
Everything you've heard is true. Pioneer brand Z-Series soybeans are bringing you the next era of soybean performance. Believe the hype. With a generational leap in genetics, Z-Series is redefining what's possible. Ride the wave. Z-Series soybeans have unleashed unprecedented yield potential and delivered maximum return on investment. Plant Z-Series soybeans in the 100th season of Pioneer. Visit pioneer.com/greatest yields.
It takes a lot of behind-the-scenes work and preparation to make the cattle at World Dairy Expo look their absolute best before they grace the colored shavings. Kylie Allen introduces us to a set of hands that makes it all possible. Joey LePage has been fitting cattle for about 5 years. He tells us what goes through his mind on show day.
It's always a little bit stressful. Cow, you want a cow's and the heifers looks great, and you need to put works for that, but we know that we're good to do it, so just like take time and doing what we're good to do.
Now, if the show starts at 7 or 8 in the morning, what time does that mean you have to be in the barns?
Depends like how big string we have, so if We have over 15 heads. Like, always depend with the heifers and how many calves you get, but you need to take time to all set up before the show start.
When you get a heifer or a cow in the chute, what's the first thing you're doing?
I always start by cleaning the body. So sometimes I use a big blower, remove like all the dust and the hay or stuff like that put on tops and on the body. And then I start to fit it, set my tops. I using a hair blower and put the hairs on up. And then I do my top lengths. To do it, I use a like clear, we name it. It's like a glue that dry really quickly. It's good for set the tops. When you blow up your top, you put it on, and then you start with the clippers to like cut the hairs and make like a beautiful triangle to make like a bones and put the heifers back like straight.
We care a lot about their udders. Do you do anything special to make those look good for the show ring?
When we're clipping the cows, we always use like thin blades to make like the shorter one to make the heifer looks really good. And then at the show day, we're using glue to set the teeth the most perfectly possibly and shorter enough. And sometimes you need to set the teeth. And to make it look like shine, you put baby oil gel. You put it that on and it's looked really good with the lights and the spotlight in the ring.
Kylie Allen visiting with Joey LePage in the barn at World Dairy Expo. He's been fitting cattle for about 5 years. You can find more of these stories at MidwestFarmReport.com on our podcast page. Up next, Farm Director Pam Yonke visits with Helena Agri about what you should be thinking about for the 2026 growing season.
Sign up for daily agriculture updates by joining our email list. Head to MidwestFarmReport.com, enter your email address, and we'll handle the rest. More farm news straight ahead. This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
Minute powered by Clean Wisconsin, your environmental voice since 1970. I'm Amy Berrio. A step forward for clean energy in Wisconsin, the Public Service Commission has approved its first wind farm in 14 years. The Badger Hollow Wind Energy Center will be built in Iowa and Grant counties. At the same meeting, commissioners also approved a new solar farm in Walworth and Jefferson counties. It might be fall, but it sure doesn't feel like it. Some Wisconsin communities like Milwaukee have already seen record highs, and that's bad news for our fall colors. Experts with the Wisconsin State Climatology Office say warm fall nights mean more muted leaf colors. And yep, climate change is making our nights hotter and hotter. Right now on the Defender podcast, AI data centers are racing ahead in Wisconsin, but staggering energy and water demands raise serious questions. Tune in for an in-depth discussion on data center secrets at cleanwisconsin.org or wherever you get your podcasts.
My part-time service in the Army National Guard makes it possible for me to be more for the community I call home. My training helps me at work when I lead by example. My service in the Army National Guard allows me to keep my community and those I care about safe from threats. Learn more about how you too can live and serve part-time close to home by visiting NationalGuard.com.
Sponsored by the Wisconsin Army National Guard, aired by the Wisconsin Broadcasters Association and this station.
Day one, the hardest day, the day you hear.
This is a type of blood cancer.
But day one is just one day. At the Leukemia and Lymphoma Society, we are here to help you move past day one.
On day 45, I discovered an online community who shared great tips for in-treatment care.
I missed a lot of school during treatment, and LLS helped me keep up.
To learn more and get help on day two, day 28, or any day, please visit LLS.org or call 1-800-955-4572.
Teachers are diverse, skilled leaders, innovating to prepare students for our fast-changing world. Teaching shapes lives. Are you ready? Explore teaching at teach.org, supported by the U.S. Department of Education and 1 million teachers of color.
Event a couple weeks ago that really gave farmers an opportunity to observe how different hybrids were performing, some of the challenges when it comes to the disease or stock quality there in front of their faces. How did it go?
Yeah, thanks for having me on again today. We did have a plot day on September 5th. It was kind of a multifaceted plot. We have all of our seed suppliers come in, our main chemistry reps come in, and it gives the growers the opportunity to talk to them, see what they are seeing in a bigger area than just our Greene County footprint. We also did a chipper day that day. So if guys had not chopped any corn silage yet or wanted to see what the moisture was, they could bring that in. We chipped it and sent the samples in to give guys an idea. But it really gives them the opportunity to come in the field. We split that plot in half. We do a very high yield opportunity. So part of the plot we treat kind of like, I always relate it back to feeding cattle. We spoon that, feed that crop. It's nitrogen, phosphorus, potassium, zinc throughout the season rather than just putting it all up front. And what it allows us to do is show growers that show up, if we spoon feed certain varieties and hybrids, that's how we start making these higher yields on some of these more racehorse type corns. So a lot of fun for me, but I probably have a little more passion for that than the average bear.
Well, but you're not alone. You bring in a lot of representatives. If people say, well, I talk to Steve all the time, you give them a menu of people they can do a little deeper dive on specific things or specific varieties.
Yeah, and that's part of bringing in these reps. I mean, some of these seed reps cover a corner of the state. They might cover half the state. So if somebody's having a challenge with SDS or white mold in beans and they want to ask that rep, hey, I have this specific soybean, what are you seeing? And it just gives them an opportunity to maybe get a better grasp on how we move forward down the road. And then it gives them the opportunity too, if they're going to change their management system on the fertilizer programs, if a guy's going to go from urea to UAN, or if we're going to side dress some nitrogen, he can look at these high end yield part of this plot and kind of say, okay, I want that particular hybrid or variety because I plan on taking this practice. So we kind of put a crash course out there, let guys see what the opportunity is. Obviously Mother Nature still has the trump card in this, right? If she doesn't allow rain to fall or whatever, that can hurt us a little bit, but I guess it gives us the opportunity to control what we control, right?
Yeah, learning together for sure. Steve Bailey along with us, branch manager of the Monroe location for Helena Agri. Let's talk a little bit about your observations then, Steve. We still have plenty of harvest ahead of us. What things are resonating with you right now, and what kinds of constant conversations are you having with your clients?
Yep. So Steph Weiss is our precision gal. She's been going out here quite a bit in the last 10 days to 2 weeks and pulling stock nitrate tests. So you've heard me talk several times on this interview of scoreboarding. So we went out with the guys that are running on our whole farm program, which is our precision program, and we'll pull stock nitrate tests, send them in, and see what this plant's telling us at this instance. So if we send one in today, get the results back. If it is optimal, that means we have the right amount of nitrogen in that plant to get the optimal amount of yield and or test weight. If it's low, we can look back at the practices and kind of see what maybe we can fix next year for that grower, or if it's real optimum or high, I should say high, not optimum, but is there places we can make adjustments too? Is it pushing the corn at a higher population, get more yield, or pulling back the nitrogen if we deem that the best thing? So that's kind of a hot topic right now. She's getting those results back. A lot of soil sampling being done right now. I am hearing some yields, some beans coming off. I did see here over the weekend some corn being harvested too. So I believe yields are pretty good. I can't put a number to that yet. I know that's the biggest question I usually get, but guys in general seem to be fairly happy. So makes me feel good. You know, hopefully we did everything we could to get them the best ROI.
Right. Well, and, you know, the next question you talk about the yields. The next question is, how am I gearing up my decision making for 2026? We already know that the pencils are going to have to be pushed pretty solidly, Steve. And you're suggesting that now is really a good time to be having those early discount conversations because you're going to need every penny you can save.
Yeah. So seed selling is in full swing here. Our best offer for discounts, early pays, volumes, and that is coming up in October. So to help these guys, if they know they're going to stick with a specific variety hybrid or seed company with us, I would advise guys to get in, talk to your sales rep and lock those in. It also gives you the opportunity to most likely get the seed size you want that fits your planter the best. And I've always said too, when I was a regional sales manager for a seed company, the early stuff that comes in usually is the best germ. So that allows us to know exactly what we need in our shed for our growers, and we can get that in early. So whether it's seed, fertilizer, getting that stuff buttoned up would be something I would advise you to do here real soon.
Excellent. Always looking at it through a producer's lens. Steve Bailey joining us today, branch manager of the Monroe location for Helena Agri. Start those conversations now. If you get an opportunity for another field event, try to take time and observe some of the information that they're providing for you. That's why they do it. Want to find out more? Want to get connected with good people like Steve Bailey? All you need to do is jump online, HelenaAgri.com. With Steve Bailey from Monroe, I'm Pam Yonke.
This is the Midwest Farm Report with Pam Yonke.
I used to smoke. I thought of cigarettes as my best friend.
They were always there for me when I needed a break.
I also thought cigarettes were my best friend, and then they gave me peripheral artery disease.
I smoked and had a stroke. Actually, multiple strokes.
I smoked and have heart disease.
Here's my tip. If cigarettes are your friend, you need a better friend.
You can quit. For free help, call 1-800-QUIT-NOW. A message from the CDC.
There's a lot more time and effort needed to grow Christmas trees than you might think. That's next on Farm to Fork. 4 months ago, I began airing a message about the possibility that the dozen regional centers for agricultural safety and health were at risk of closing because of funding cuts. I've now learned that those funds will not be shut off and that the centers may continue operating. One center representative said, quote, "We are convinced that media visibility and support help turn the tide." So, let's pick up where I left off with our 2025 Farm Safety and Health Campaign. Before you take on some risky task or project on the farm, ask yourself, what would happen if this goes south? If I get hurt or even die in the process, what would happen to my family and the farm? Use your best judgment to decide what's acceptable or unacceptable risk. Farm safety and health is everyone's business. This reminder is brought to you by Farm to Fork through the generous support of listeners like you across the country. Learn how you can help at NorthShoreProductions.com. Raising Christmas trees is pretty much a full-time job. It is at least for John Tillman, a Christmas tree farmer in the state of Washington.
Somewhere around mid-January, we start prepping our fields, which is removing stumps, doing some soil amenities with lime, things like that, getting our seedlings. And so up through the end of March, we're planting trees and base pruning trees, putting the handles on the bottom so that the trunk goes in the stand nice and cleanly. Then through April through May, we're checking for funguses and insects, things like that, making sure that we're trying to keep the trees healthy.
Summer is also a busy time for Tillman's tree farm.
We start a culturing season in early July, and that will go through typically about the end of September, where we're going out straightening leaders, trimming sides of the trees, hopefully making sure that we have something that looks good for tagging.
Tillman says the Christmas tree harvest starts in early November.
We harvest the tree, we carry it out by hand so it's not ever hitting the dirt. We put it through the baler, tag it accurately, get it to the loading areas, and hopefully doing that within 2 or 3 days of the ship dates. After harvest, typically we'll take a month off, roughly, because we have just worked 30 to 45 straight days.
That's Farm to Fork. I'm Daryl Anderson.
Is getting vaccinated on your to-do list? We can help you check that off.
You've got this.
Yes, you do. See how we've got you at yougotthis.usaging.org. A message from the Aging and Disability Vaccination Collaborative, powered by US Aging.
The green and gold tailgating the frozen tundra. Lambeau Field has a legacy all its own, including where to build it. Residents on both sides of Green Bay argued for it. Officials wanted property with room for growth. In the end, 50 acres of farmland was purchased, but the address has Wabanon. More bargaining, and in 1956, the land was annexed to Green Bay. Now, do you know the other reason leaders considered this annexation so important? Parking, beer sales, keeping the Packers in Green Bay? The answer coming up. The Green Bay City Stadium project moved quickly from there, and in less than a year, opened with a Packers-Bears game. It became Lambeau Field in 1965, following the death of team co-founder and coach Curly Lambeau. So did you guess why the land annexation was so important? It's all three, keeping the team in the city, parking, and beer sales. Ashwaubenon was dry at the time. Officials believe Packers fans wanted to be able to buy beer and could in Green Bay. This history makes it a true slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don Rosen starts the day at 6 with his guests from all over Racine, along with local, state, and national news, featuring Stuart J. Waddles, weekday mornings on WRJN. WZTI Greenfield.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Deborah Rodriguez. Rap mogul Sean Combs is asking for mercy from the federal judge who will sentence him today for his conviction on prostitution-related charges. In a last-minute letter, Combs says he lost his way and vows never to commit a crime again. Legal contributor Jessica Levinson.
Each of these counts carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison, totaling 20 years total in prison. Combs is unlikely to face the maximum amount permitted here.
If he gets the minimum, he could be out by the end of next year. Breaking news from the UK, where the Church of England has just chosen the first woman Archbishop of Canterbury in its 500-year history.
I'm Vicky Barker in London. After a secretive selection process chaired by a former head of the British spy agency MI5, 63-year-old Bishop of London Sarah Mullally has been chosen to lead the world's 85 million Anglicans. Religion